Imam Ahmad Rida,
guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. الحمد لله. We have brought this new program which will inshallah cover briefly the biography and the life of the grand reviver of Islam. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Maulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatur Rahman. He is known amongst the scholars as Al-Mujaddidul A'zam, and hence the title of the program, Life of the Grand Reviver. We'll be touching upon various aspects of his blessed biography, and we'll have much to learn inshallah and to benefit from. And in this particular episode, we will speak about his honorable family, ta'aruf, an introduction to his beginnings, and how even in his family, mashallah, he comes from a lineage of scholars, ulama of Islam, and this helped shape and mold the great Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, radiyallahu ta'ala an. Throughout the program, we'll hear about his teachers, we'll hear about his students, we'll hear about his achievements, and subhanallah, how he defended the teachings of Ahlus Sunnah and the creed of Ahlus Sunnah at a very difficult moment in Islamic history. So let us begin this particular episode. Now, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatur Rahman, as I mentioned a few moments ago, came from a scholarly family. He came from a pious family. But it wasn't the case that his elders were always in the field of Islamic da'wah and in the field of learning sacred knowledge. That wasn't the case. Now, Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala, in terms of residence, his family came from a city known as Qandahar, which is in modern-day Afghanistan. From there, his grandfather migrated towards India. And this is how the great Imam grew up in Bareilly, UP, India, Uttar Pradesh. Beyond his grandfather, meaning those who were in the lineage beyond his grandfather, great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather, etc., there were many people who had responsibilities, had a rank in society, but as I said, it wasn't an Islamic affiliation. There were those people who were granted land by the royalty, the people in charge at that time, and they lived a very comfortable life. Now, where did this journey begin then? If the elders of Ala Hazrat, meaning beyond his grandfather, they were in a different field, a different line. The ulama have written that the great-grandfather of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, Maulana Kazim Ali Khan, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was the one who initiated this way amongst their family, meaning becoming a scholar, adopting asceticism, following the teachings of the awliya, the sufiya. And he was the one who initiated that way. He left riyasa, he left the previous things that the elders were involved in, those leadership roles, being close to the rulers of the time. He left all of that. And he was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grandfather of Ala Hazrat, Maulana Raza Ali Khan, he was the first to actually practically take steps to learn sacred knowledge and become an alim. This is the grandfather. So we've just discussed that the great-grandfather, Maulana Kazim Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, he started this journey of zuhud and faqr. And he began this path. But the one who started the ilmi journey, the scholarly journey, was the grandfather of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, Maulana Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. So he learned sacred knowledge and then he began to teach it as well. Maulana Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, he showed great affection towards Ala Hazrat Alihi Rahmatul Rahman. And Ala Hazrat will reciprocate that love and affection. Let's hear about Maulana Raza Ali Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, how great a scholar he was, and some aspects of his wilaya, his sainthood as well. So his name, as you've heard, is Maulana Raza Ali Khan. He was born in 1224 Hijri, and at the age of 22, which is a young age, 22-year-old in modern society doesn't know much. He's just about graduated from doing a three-year degree at university, and we know that the traditional way of learning was more intense. So at the age of 22, Maulana Raza Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ali, the grandfather, the Dada Jan of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman, he had completed his Islamic studies. He was an Alim Adin, he was a scholar of the religion. And he was the first person to establish Darul Ifta in Bareli Sharif. And that Darul Ifta is still continuing till today, over 200 years later, subhanAllah. And it's the same Darul Ifta that the grand reviver of Islam, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, would sit in and write his fatawa. That very same establishment of Darul Ifta in Bareli Sharif, Ala Hazrat was seated there, subhanAllah. And the ulama say in his time there was no scholar like Ala Hazrat. He was matchless, subhanAllah. But where was the aghaz? Where did this initiate from? The grandfather, Maulana Raza Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who set up and established that Darul Ifta in Bareli Sharif. What kind of relationship did Ala Hazrat have with his grandfather? We can understand that from the following account. When Ala Hazrat was 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days old, then as we know, there is this tradition amongst the Salihin that they have a rasam, tradition called Rasam Bismillah, where a pious elder is called and he makes the young child who's 4 years, 4 months, 4 days old recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and other kalimat as well, other verses as well of the Quran. And this is how they initiate and begin that particular child's journey in the path of seeking sacred knowledge, learning the Quran and other ulume Islamiyah as well. So when Ala Hazrat's turn came, the rasam of Bismillah of Ala Hazrat, this was a unique occasion. Why? Because Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali was not an ordinary 4-year-old. In fact, the ulama have written regarding him that at the age of 4, his dhahana, his intelligence, was already far beyond children of his age. And we will gain a glimpse of that as well from the account. So a scholar was called for this occasion. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, just like other children asked, was asked to recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So he read it. And then he said, the Alim Adin said to Ala Hazrat, recite Alif. Ala Hazrat read Alif. Then he said, read Ba, the letter Ba. Ala Hazrat recited it, Ba. Then he said to him, recite Ta. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman read the letter Ta. And this continued until the entire alphabet was covered. Now, those who have seen the Qaida, they know that in the first lesson, the letters are written individually. And the children are taught the Arabic alphabet individually, as this is easier to grasp, to comprehend, to read, to learn. Now, with regards to Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, the ulama say right from the off, subhanAllah, he had a fluent tongue. There was no stuttering, none of this. And some kids, we know they stutter, but Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was not like that. He would recite fluently, clearly as well. And he himself says, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma himself testifies to this. He says that when I was 3 years old, a pious elder appeared at our door, the door of our home in the courtyard. And he began to converse with me in eloquent Arabic. Not Urdu, not any other language, but Arabic. And Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma, this shows ilm ladunni, the inspired knowledge that he had, which was bestowed on him by Allah Almighty. At 3 years of age, the tender age of 3 years, he was able to converse with that buzurg, with that pious elder, in eloquent Arabic. This is also a karama a saintly miracle of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. So the teacher made Ala Hazrat Ali Rahman read the first lesson, the individual letters, Huruf, Mufradat. The second lesson, those who have seen the Qaeda, has compound letters. So two letters or more. And that's the next stage. Once the child understands the letters individually, then you can build him, move him on to the compound letters. So you'll have Lam Alif, for example, Da Alif, compound letters. And this is to aid comprehension. You start off with individual, then you move on to compound letters. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was taught the first lesson. Now the second one, the scholar said to him, recite Lam Alif. Ala Hazrat didn't read. His grandfather said, oh son, the teacher, the Alim Adin, is asking you to read. How come you're not reading? So Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, in a question format, said something to his grandfather. He said, I've recited all of the individual letters in the first lesson. I've read Alif, I've read Lam, I've read Ta, I've read all of these letters. Why am I being asked to read them again? Allahu Akbar. Meaning Allah said, had no issue with reading compound letters or individual letters. MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such intelligence. The grandfather was amazed. He was amazed by the fact that this child is only 4 years old. He knows all of this. Meaning he's not like a normal child who needs it broken down. Allah Hazrat is well versed already. So the grandfather was amazed that first of all the individual letters, now these compound letters, but my grandson saying that he has no issues with them. He already knows them. He's not struggling and he doesn't need to be taken by the hand and, you know, guided like this. Allahu Akbar. Now Allah Hazrat Rahma did as he was told and he recited Lam Alif. And then he again asked his granddad a question. And he said, I have another question. First of all, he was asking why did he begin with the individual letters, then he was moved on to compound letters when he already understood all of them. Now look at the question. Look at, this is all from a 4-year-old child, dear viewers, of Madini Channel. This is not a grown adult. This is not someone who's had extensive years of studies. But look at the questions. This already shows that this young child would go on to become a great, significant personality in Islam. Now, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma says, if the compound letters were to be taught in all cases, then my question is, why has Lam been coupled with Alif? Why have they been brought together, Lam and Alif? Why didn't they add Ta Alif right at the beginning? Or Ba Alif? Why Lam Alif? I want to know that. Again, the granddad was amazed. Look at his thinking. Why has the lesson started with Lam Alif? Not any other letter. Because after Alif alphabet, Ba appears. Why wasn't it Ba Alif right at the beginning? Or Ta Alif? Why Lam Alif? So the grandfather, who was an Alim Adin, and now he was tasked with answering these amazing questions, quick fire questions put forward by his grandson. Now the grandfather answers very intelligently as well. And sometimes these answers, they're off the cuff. Meaning Allah Ta'ala inspires a person with the answer right on the spot. That he hasn't planned to answer such a question. And this is what the ulama refer to as Nuqta ba'd al-wuqu. A Nuqta ba'd al-wuqu. That sometimes a certain thing happens and we're required to defend that position or answer. And right there we gain the answer. We're inspired with the answer. But there's no planning before and we don't even know that something like that is going to take place. SubhanAllah, his grandfather was an Alim Adin. Allah Ta'ala inspired him with an answer. And he said, there is great compatibility, concordance, agreement between the letter Lam and Alif. Allah said, how so? The grandfather said that if you look at the word Alif itself, when you spell it out, Hamza, Lam, Fa, Alif, it contains Lam. It contains Lam, the letter Lam. That's the second letter. And if you look at the word Lam, you spell out the word Lam, Lam, Alif, Meem, then the second letter in the word Lam, when you spell it out, is also Alif. So they both contain letters of this compound. So the word Alif has Lam in there. The word Lam has Alif in there. And this was an answer that he gave right on the spot, SubhanAllah. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma understood So this was one example of the dhana, the intelligence of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma at that young age. And there's also an example of this in the life of Ala Hazrat later on, where he wrote something and he may not have pre-planned that, but on the spot when he wrote something, so many different points can be derived from what he wrote. For example, the student of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, Maulana Amjad Ali Azmi, Rahmatullahi Ali, Sadr Sharia is his title. When he wrote Bahari Shariat, this encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh, Ala Hazrat read the first few parts. Obviously, Mufti Sahib, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, would present his work to the great Mujaddid of the time, the great reviver of Islam, the grand reviver, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, so that he could gain endorsement, support from Ala Hazrat. What more could you ask for? Ala Hazrat would read those parts and he would also write his taqrees, his endorsement as well, in support of Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And in one passage, he actually writes, whilst praising the author, Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma, he says, Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi bil madhab wal mashrab was sukna. He's referring to his student, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma is referring to Sadr al-Sharia. How does he refer to him? He says, Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi bil madhab wal mashrab was sukna. And let us dissect this. Let us go into this. And this will give you a glimpse of the intelligence of Ala Hazrat Alihi Rahmatur Rahman. Number one, Bil Madhab, that Mawlana Amjad Ali is A'zam in terms of Madhab. What does this mean? He is a Muqallid, a follower of Imam Abu Hanifa, who is known by the title Al Imam Al A'zam. Bahari Shariat is in light of Hanafi. It's an encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh. Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Alayhi is a muqallid of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So Ala Hazrat is saying Mawlana Amjad Ali is Azam in terms of his madhab. He follows Imam Al-Azam. In terms of mashrab, spirituality. Because Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the murid of Ala Hazrat, his silsila, his spiritual order goes through Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu anhu, all the way to the great mashayikh before, and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ghawth al-Azam radiyallahu an. This is the title, Al-Ghawth al-A'zam. So he's saying, Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi, in terms of spirituality, in terms of tariqah, he's also A'zam. He's a follower of Ghawth al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala. So that's what the second point referred to. Bil-Madhab wal-Mashrab. Was-Sukna. What does he mean by this? Finally, he mentions, and this is what most people's mind will probably go to, that we call him Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi in terms of his sukna, his residence. He's from Azamgarh in India. Ala Hazrat mentions that last and mentions two points beforehand that allude to three things now. That in terms of fiqh, he's a follower of Al-Imam Al-Azam. In terms of spirituality, tariqah, he is a follower of, a murid of Al-Ghawth Al-Azam. And in terms of residence, we do nisba of him, ascribe him to Azam Gar. That's where he's from. So this was the zahana, the intelligence of Ala Hazrat alayhi rahmatur rahman. Meaning, this thing was probably not in the mind of Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi. It probably never even occurred to his mind that when I write Azmi next to my name, that it could refer to so many different things. It could refer to my affiliation with the great Imam Al-Azam radiyallahu anhu. Imam Abu Hanifa, I could refer to my link with Ghawth al-Azam radiyallahu anhu. And most of the time people, when they say Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi, they know he's from Azamgarh, and that's why he's known as Azmi. But Ala Hazrat took more points out, derived further points as well. So this is again the intelligence of Ala Hazrat alayhi rahma, and is known as Nuqta Ba'd al-Wuqu, as I mentioned earlier, that when now we ponder upon it, we think, whoa, Ala Hazrat wrote one line, but we can derive so many meanings from that. Subhanallah. So what the grandfather of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma said when he answered that question, that why was Lam coupled with Alif? Lam Alif. Why wasn't it at the beginning of the lesson Ba Alif or Ta Alif? That was on the spot, intuitively. He said Lam, the word Lam, when you spell it out, contains Alif as the second letter. And the same thing is with the word Alif. That when you write Alif, Alif, Lam, Fa, when you spell it out, the second letter of that word has lam in it. So this compatibility and agreement between Lam and Alif, and that's why they mentioned together at the beginning of this lesson. Allahu Akbar. This was the intelligence of our ulama, subhanAllah, that on the spot they were able to come up with such points. Otherwise, today if you ask someone a question, they'll be like, let me get back to you on that. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if you don't know, then it's the safest way. It's the most precautious way, especially when you're answering dini masail. This was in terms of the qaida, it's not really a shari'i mas'ala. But if it's a shari'i mas'ala, then we should always refer and consult with the ulama if we're unsure. And if on the spot we're trying to derive points and we're unaware about the reality of that mas'ala, then we can fall into much harm. So moving on, a teacher is defined by his students. The teacher is great, the students will also be great. They will inherit that greatness, that intelligence, that scholarly acumen, that eminence. And this was the case for Maulana Raza Ali Khan Ali Rahma as well. Who are his students? Great scholars. Amongst them, one of the biggest names is the father of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatur Rahman, who is known as Ra'isul Mutakallimin, the head of the theologians. Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. He studied all of his sacred knowledge from his father, Maulana Raza Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. And another shakhsiyah, another personality who was a student of Maulana Raza Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh, his name is Maulana Hassan Ali Ilmi. A lot of masajid, the khatib, when he does the khutbah, he reads the khutbah composed by the student of Maulana Raza Ali Khan, namely Maulana Hassan Ali Ilmi. And he was a great Sunni scholar of Islam as well, subhanallah. So we know he was a great scholar. Maulana Raza Ali Khan rahmatullahi ali also possessed numerous other beautiful attributes as well. And alongside this, he was a scholarly saint. He was a saint who performed many miracles as well. Just one miracle before we conclude this episode. It's mentioned that once he was passing by somewhere, when a non-Muslim woman, she threw some color on him. And the students who were there, they wanted to enact revenge. How dare she do this to our teacher? But he prevented them and he said, she threw color on me. May Allah Ta'ala make it such that she also receives color in her life. Meaning she's provided with color as well. What was the meaning behind that? Allahu Akbar Kabira. It says that as soon as he said this, that woman fell at his feet. And at that same time, she embraced Islam. She accepted Islam. And she entered the folds of this beautiful religion. She asked for forgiveness and became a Muslim. So this is how Allah Ta'ala provided color in her life. This is the pious predecessors' teachings, but they wouldn't enact revenge. They would pray for those people who didn't understand, who would do wrong to them. So this was a brief introduction to Ala Hazrat's family. We learned how his elders were not always in this line as a scholarly field. This started from his great-grandfather, who was the first to come towards asceticism, and then his grandfather. He was the first to become an erudite, eminent scholar of his time, producing many, many ulama. And alhamdulillah, we heard briefly about him. Inshallah, in the next episode, we'll hear more about the life of Ala Hazrat and in particular his honorable father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Until then, Allah Ta'ala protect and preserve all of us. Ameen bijahin Nabi Ameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam.
Imam Ahmad Ridha, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.